in a personal life of prayer. To live connected means that we pray for each other and we uphold each other in prayer. To see this world changed requires us to be calling out to God for a move of His Spirit across this town and across this land. So prayer is everything to do with being a disciple. So we're going to look at prayer over the next four Sundays, and to give us a structure, we're going to use a wee phrase that comes from a book by a guy called Pete Gregg. I'm a big fan of Pete Gregg, without doubt, one of the most best writers on prayer today at this time, and he's written a number of books. I'm going to print a few of them just now. He's written a book called Red Moon Rising, where he talks about the birth of the 24/7 prayer movement, something that we're going to be doing from the 7th to the 13th of September. Let me really encourage you, do not leave it to the last day to sign up for a place, or you'll end up with 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that. You want to get a reasonable time, then get in quick and phone Mary, and next week we'll have all the sheets out as well that you can sign up for that 24/7 prayer week. So he's written a book about that. He's written a book called God on Mute. Wonderful book where he makes himself so vulnerable. This is a guy that had seen a worldwide prayer movement burst. He was getting emails every day about people being healed and people being restored. And at the same time, his wife gets serious. I mean, she nearly dies, his wife. And he writes about that very honestly, about what it means to be leading a prayer movement while at the same time having someone so close to you desperately unwell. So I'd encourage you to read that. He's the author of Dirty Glory. I have not read that one yet. So, Morag Murray's telling me that's a good one to read. And this one here, How to Pray. This is his latest book, and it comes from the prayer course that we've done a few times in EMBC. Fantastic book, this. Just read it, and it'll bless your life. Duncan's going to get a few onto the bookstall the next time we do it. But in this book, he talks about, he takes the word prayer, and he just gives us a beautiful little structure that we're going to use over the next few weeks. And I think it's going to come up for us now on the screen. He talks about prayer, and he talks about pausing. He says, you know, when you pray, that's where we're going to be this morning, in that verse in Matthew 6, when Jesus says, when you pray, when you pause to pray, that's the first step in praying, is actually stopping and pausing in God's presence to pray. Then we rejoice, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Prayer is about lifting up adoration and praise to God. Then we ask. That's probably where most of us spend our lives in prayer, coming before God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. And then yielding in prayer. You know, in prayer we come confessing and surrendering our lives to God. So this is where we're going in the next 4 weeks. But if you've got a Bible with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. It will come up on the screen, but it's great to have your Bible open as we're going to read from these verses here in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 5. And when you pray, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. That's a great, just tremendous statement, that. Pray to your Father. We were looking at that a few weeks ago, what it means as God is our Father, what it means that for the core of our identity. We were singing it just there a minute ago. He's brought us out. We were lost, but He found us and He brought us out. And we can say that we are children of God and we come to Him, our Father God. We read on, who is unseen, come to Him, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need to ask of Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, our heart's desire is to hear from you. Lord, we come asking that you would deposit into our souls your precious word. a word, a phrase that just meets us where we are today. Lord, we come, want to be changed here today through your word speaking into our lives. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you just be active in our lives now. As we come to open up your word, be active, so powerfully active in each of our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes in life, in fact, often in life, we find it hard to do things if we don't feel confident in whatever that is we've been asked to do. And when I was younger at school, I did not like reading out in public. I absolutely hated reading out in public. And I got to sixth year in school, and I went into sixth year with one dread. Because in sixth year, at the assembly that took place once a week, the Bible was read out loud. And it was one of the sixth-year pupils' job to read out the Bible. And I was dreading the day that this came up, because I was not a competent reader. And I thought, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of doing this? And the day came, your number was basically kind of called. And I was sitting outside the headmaster's office in Dunkerig Secondary School. And it was all very formal. They would come out still with robes on and everything like that, the sort of assembly party, would all walk out, and I was outside sitting in this wee seat, and what would happen is they would just come out, hand you the Bible for the bit that you were meant to read, and you were to just follow them and get up and read. And there I was sitting there, how am I going to get out of this? And I was sitting there with my tie on, because it was very strict. You have to have had your tie on and everything. And then a terrible act of rebellion came into my heart. And they still whisper about it in Dunkinrigg today. As I was sitting there, what am I going to do to get out of this? And I only had one option. I know this is terrible. I removed my tie. Shocking. I removed my tie and I shoved it into my pocket. And out came the assembly party, all in their robes. And where's your tie? I thought, oh, I forgot it. You know, and you can't go on the platform without your tie. I thought, well, I know that. That's the whole thing. Now, you would have think they would have just have gone and gotten me a new tie. But no, I tell you, what a hairdryer of a talking to I got that morning. But I did not have to go up on the platform. And I was never asked again the whole of 6 years. And God has had the last laugh on that one, let me tell you. But our confidence affects what we do. And when we come to think about prayer, for many of us, we approach prayer often with a lack of confidence. We approach prayer at times feeling like, often like failures in our own lives. Oh, I'm rubbish at this. Oh, you know, I set out to pray every day this week and only managed it one day. Oh, I'm rubbish at this. I set out to pray for 20 minutes and within 2 minutes I'd drifted off and I was on my phone. Oh, I'm rubbish with this. We have great intentions at times and it never works out. And as followers of Jesus, we can pick up a lot of baggage around prayer and how we perceive our own prayer lives. That is not helpful at times. But not only this, I think if we were being really honest, and that's why I would encourage you to read that Pete Gregg book, God on Mute, sometimes we lose confidence in prayer because we feel overwhelmed by some of the pain and some of the suffering around us that we experience in this broken world. We feel pressed down at times and wonder, why is this happening, God? What's going on here? We also at times lose confidence in prayer because we become too confident in ourselves. We live in a world that has made incredible advancements. You know, I've got this phone here and I can pick up and phone my sister-in-law in Australia and look at her while I talk to her. And it's just incredible the advancements we have made. And sometimes we become too confident in ourselves. So we come to prayer. And sometimes our confidence is shaken because of who we feel we are. Sometimes our confidence is shaken because we're like just broken a bit by all that's going on around us, our circumstances. And sometimes our confidence is just misplaced elsewhere. You know, I've got this book here. One of Jim's great inspirations in his 40 years in ministry was a guy called Jim Graham. Went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. And this book does not have your name in it, which means I'm claiming it. as mine, but I think it might be yours. But anyway, you've got enough books that you're trying to disperse. But in this opening section of his book, he writes about the need for us to have confidence in prayer. And I just want to read a little quote to you. "However amazing the total of humankind's achievements are, we need to write across every one of them, limited. There is a realm that humans have been given which has no limit, prayer. It is as limitless as God, for it directly links our life to God. How important and exciting it is to affirm with confidence and authority that there is a supernatural power available to the church and the believer which is virtually untapped. There is a privilege which, although recognized, spoken of, and discussed widely in Christian circles, is almost wholly neglected. Prayer." And then he says this, "Prayer is an invitation to experience and explore the boundlessness of God. Many have never really been excited about God because they have never thought of, far less discovered, his boundlessness." You see, these next 4 weeks as we come to look at prayer, it's not about us feeling guilty. Oh, I need to go and pray more. It's about God's invitation to you to come to him through prayer and deepen your relationship with him, to explore the boundlessness of God in your life. A love so vast, a grace so deep, a mercy that is new every day, a power without limit. And it starts with pausing. It starts with pausing because he invites you too. Look at our text. Jesus gives the example of someone who's come to prayer to be noticed. Someone who's come to prayer and their motivation is wrong. It's not wrong to stand and pray. It's not wrong for others to even see you praying. But this person is doing it to get noticed. And Jesus says, you know what? That's wrong. Their motive is wrong. But then he says in verse 6, when you pray. Interestingly, he doesn't say if. He doesn't say you've got a choice. He says it presuming that they're doing it already. When you pray. And you know, this should not be a surprise to us because Jesus, the most important person who has ever lived in the past, now, and forever, Jesus who intercedes before the Father right now, lived, when he lived on this earth, a life of incredible prayer. Mark 1, verse 35, in the morning when it was still dark, what does Jesus get up and do? He gets up and he leaves quietly and he goes and prays. After being baptized, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and prayer. When he came to choose the 12 disciples, what does he do? He prays beforehand. When he hears about John the Baptist being beheaded, he withdraws and he prays. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he is crying out to God on that, in that place. He's praying on the cross. He's talking to his Father God. He's praying. And the disciples see this life of prayer. And what is the one thing they ask him to teach them? He says, teach us to pray. Not the mechanics. These were Jewish men. They knew everything about prayer. They said, no, teach us to be with the Father like we see you being with the Father. And God invites us to pause. He invites us to be with him. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The invitation from God is to come and to pause. Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen, who's in secret. There's a sense that he's waiting there for us in that secret place. Prayer is an invitation to pause with the Father who loves us unconditionally. And you need to, if you take one thing away from this morning, take this away. He delights in being with you. He delights in being with you. You might go in and think, oh, I'm rubbish. Oh, I'm a failure. Oh, I've only prayed. Well, haven't I prayed for a week? He delights in being with you. The invitation is there to come to the Father. pause to pray, to be in his presence. You know, I've never met anyone in my life who we would call someone who was across the world, sort of worldwide famous. I once, as a young boy, accidentally at the British Open, bumped into Princess Anne as I was rushing to the toilet. That caused our security guards a little bit of alarm. That's the closest I've kind of come to someone you might call as famous. But when you meet folk and they've met some sort of global star, they often say, I didn't know what to say to them. I was so in awe of meeting with them. But these are just people. You and I, when we pause, we're sitting in the presence of the Creator of the world. We come to be with the one who loved us so much that he sent his Son into this world to die for us so that we could be forgiven of all our sins. We pause, recognizing and being still and allowing ourselves to be in awe that we are meeting with the Lord God Almighty. Jesus says in this text, go into your room, close the door. There's a sense of withdrawing from the normal rhythm of life. Psalm 27, the psalmist says, my heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. When we're pausing, it is to pursue the presence of God. You know, I've confessed to you many times that I lose things often. If I lose my wallet, do I find it if I sit watching the telly all night? No. If I lose my wallet, do I find it by being on social media for hours? No. If I lose my wallet, do I find it if I just think, oh, it'll turn up, and you know, it'll turn up somewhere? No, I find it by going seeking for it and going looking for it. And this is what the psalmist says here when he says, seek your face. It means to desire. It means to go after. It means to pursue the presence of God in our lives. It's like Joshua when Moses had left the tent of meeting. Joshua wanted to stay in that place because he knew that's where the tangible presence of God was. You might be thinking, Mark, this sounds all a bit mystical and mysterious, pursuing the presence of God. What are you actually going on about? Well, let's go back to our text. Jesus here in this text talks about a place. And when we look at Jesus' life, certainly there was places that he went to in particular where he just met with the Father God. He loved to walk up a mountain and pray. And this text talks about withdrawing to a secret place, a room. And we need to be careful. We maybe don't become too legalistic about how we understand this. But I do believe that to pursue the presence of God in your life, you need to remove yourself at times from the distractions in your life, to be still and know that we are with God. And that will look very different for each of us here today. For some of you, that might be a quiet place, a room, a chair, a location where you sit in that place and you just say, God, you are here and I am here. And you're in his presence. Pete Gregg says this about pursuing the presence of God. Become fully present in a place and a time so that your scattered senses can recenter themselves on God's eternal presence. Stillness and silence prepare your minds and primes your heart to pray from a place of greater peace, faith, and adoration. Pause in a place, find that still place to refocus on the presence of God. Find that place in your life. Our Celtic forefathers talked about thin places on heaven and places on earth where there was a thin place between us and heaven, where they really sensed the presence of God. That looks different to all of us. I'm a kinetic learner. I learn by doing things rather than sitting. I learn by being on the move and doing things actively. But even in those places, you can still be in stillness, because you're cutting out the distractions, quieting yourself down when you come into the presence of God. This has been, for me, one of the greatest lessons of prayer in my life. For many years, prayer for me was a bit like that TV show, you know, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. For many years, prayer for me was, I'm a Disciple, Get me out of here. Get me out of this situation, God. Get me out of this difficulty, God. I always just came saying, get me out of this. Get me out of this. There's a wasp. Get me out of this. But anyway, you know. And then I have learned through the years, it's not about coming with that, just that place of, get me out of this, Lord. It's coming to seek Him and desire Him and to pursue Him. And when you come into that place, it changes from, I'm a disciple, get me out of here, to I'm a disciple, let me sit here. Let me just bathe here in Your presence, God. You know, I love the story of David when he'd gone off to fight. He was in a strange place in his life at that time. He was following a train of the Philistines that were going off to fight. He's right at the back of it, and they're saying, you know what, I don't think we want David and his guys with us. And so he goes back, he's sent away, and he gets back. And when he gets back, their wives have been stolen, their children have been stolen, all their goods have been stolen. David's men have turned completely against him. But it says that he withdrew at that moment, and David strengthened himself in the Lord. He paused. I don't know quite what went on that moment, but I know he paused. He paused in God's presence. And in that moment, he found strength to come out and to say to those men, let's go forward. Let's go and get our wives and children back. Pausing is at His invitation. Pausing is in His presence. And pausing is something we do because there's treasure to be found. You see, Jesus says here, your Father that sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that word that Jesus uses for room in this text is a word that can be used to describe a secret room where someone stores their treasure away. Now, I worked with a guy one time whose grandfather kept under the floorboards in his house tens of thousands of pounds worth of gold. He had gold sovereigns. He had blocks of gold. I don't know what it says about me, but he would never tell me where his grandpa lived. But in his house, he had all this treasure stored away under the floorboards in his house. Thankfully, he had told someone in his family about it, but he kept it all hoarded away there under his floorboards, you know, in his grandpa's house. But when we pause with the Father, when we pursue His presence, there is treasure to be found in that place, far greater than gold sovereigns. There is the treasure of His wisdom that He makes known to us in those moments. There is the treasure of His perfect love that can touch our lives when we're battered down, when we're let down. In those moments, His perfect love touches our lives again. There is the treasure of His whispering voice as He speaks into our lives. There is the treasure of hope renewed as we see situations through the eyes of our Father. There is the treasure of finding a power that overcomes, a power that can see us endure much, a power that is limitless. There is the treasure of just being with Him with no other agenda other than to delight in His presence. Jim Graham quote, I'm giving these for you today, Jim. When all is said and done, however, this is him talking about prayer. The best definition I know of prayer is that it is fellowship with God, sharing my life with God, and God sharing His life with me. It is not so much our moving God into our world to solve our problems, as it is God moving us into His world to serve His purposes. I don't really know how prayer works, he says, and yet I know that God wants me, and in my heart, I know that I not only need Him, but want Him too. Do you want Him, folks? Do you really want Him in your life this morning? Because you need to pause. You need to pause. Pause in that place. Pause knowing that He invites you to come away with Him. Pause because you need Him and you want Him and you just want to be with Him more than anything else. Pause in that moment because there's wonderful treasures from God to find when we pause with Him. There's a grace that will come into your life when you realize in those moments just what a sinner you are, and yet how astounding God's grace is that He's found you just as you are and brought you into His family. There's love to be found. There is so much to be found as we pause and as we are with Him. You know, prayer is not meant to be something that we beat ourselves up about. Oh, that's not what it's meant to be about. It's meant to be about encountering the living God. And it starts with just pausing and meeting with our Father God. I am unshameless in declaring to you this morning that I want to experience more of God in my life. Oh, there is so much I want to learn. There's so much I want to, the Bible, every time I open it, I'm like, I've got so much more I want to learn, so much more I want to know, so much more about theology I want to understand. Maybe that's not all for all of you, but there's so much more that I want to experience of God in my life. That limitless power, that incredible love that He just wants to pour more and more into my life. So I want to encourage you this week. I don't know what it looks like for you. Find a chair. Go for a walk that you always go. And just pause with God. That's what He's inviting you into this morning. Pause to experience and pursue His presence. And pause because there is treasure to be found with Him. Let us pray together. Band are just going to come up as we come into prayer. Lord, just this morning I was thinking of that song that we sometimes sing, in your presence, Lord, that's where I am strong. In your presence, Lord, that's where I belong. Seeking your face all the day long, in your presence, O God. Father, we want to be a people, we want to be a church that pursues, that passionately pursues your presence, Lord. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would just lift off the shackles of any negativity that is holding people back here this morning in their prayer life. We know that happens. We've all picked it up. You know, we feel at times that we've let you down because we don't pray enough. Lord, break that off of people this morning and bring into them a fresh sense of renewal, a fresh sense of focus, of understanding, of coming into prayer, just wanting to be with you, just wanting to pause and to just want to delight in your presence. Lord, I pray that we would all embrace the invitation that you give us to come to you just as we are, and to pause in your presence and to find treasures beyond anything this earth can ever offer us, Lord. Lord, there is no human relationship that comes close to the intimacy of the closeness of the relationship that we can have with you. It doesn't come close to it. No marriage relationship, no friendship comes close to what we can have with you, Father God. Lord, let us hunger for that more and more in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship God together. Let me invite you to stand as we sing a song of praise to God now.